Once again, the parables feature this weekend in the Gospel. Parables, as we recall, are relevant events or divinely inspired stories which bear a significant moral theme. Overall, there's about 33 parables in the Scriptures. Last week, for example, the parable of the sower reminded us of God's ubiquitous grace and how it is squandered, lost. Now, the loss of grace was caused by the environment in which the seed, or God's word, was located or placed. That environment was our responsibility. Therefore, we, and not God, is to blame for our lack of holiness. This weekend, we hear about the parable of the darnel, or the weeds, sown among the wheat, which is related to the parable last weekend, but also markedly different. One may say that the weed sower represents evil persons in our midst. We ought to ask the question, where did they come from? Well, there's always been and always will be people bent upon evil. Individuals seeking to cause ruin and chaos by sowing seeds of distrust, deceit, and disdain, not to mention hate and violence. Why do evil people exist? Why is there any evil at all? Is God not concerned with the sufferings of his people, especially the innocent and children? This is one of the strongest arguments used against the existence of God. How can we best answer it? Well, firstly, realize that no answer will be ideal or satisfactory for everyone. What we can say is that, yes, God is concerned for those innocent ones who suffer. After all, his innocent heart was wounded for our transgressions. So he knows better than us their actual plight. Also, it is from him and him alone that we can learn how best to cope in suffering. We may not, in this life, receive an answer to why there is suffering, but we can, with Christ's grace, provide an answer to how we deal with it. Never forget that God, who is all-knowing, does not want evil to exist. Nor is he the cause of evil. As the Bible declares and all ancient cultures testify, sin is the ultimate cause of evil, as well as death. We live in a fallen world, and we sinners, that's us, all of us, must dwell among sinners all our life. It's the common lot of each and every person. What I find surprising about the parable of the wheat and the darnel is not that evil exists, but that it is tolerated and permitted to exist alongside goodness for so long. For we are told, let them, wheat and darnel, grow until harvest time. Jesus is saying, let them be the weeds with the good wheat. Don't pull them out, just let them be until the end. Why do we have to put up with such people for so long? If God is God, can't he just fix it? Induce a good coronary attack and solve the problem of these wretched people? Do we have to tolerate evil persons in the same way that we have to tolerate bad weather, just put up with it? Is it not too much that we have to put up with him or her, that ugly neighbour, until one of us moves or dies? Well, the answer is yes. Sadly, it is not in our job description to give or to take life. We have a commandment barring any action in that regard, the fifth commandment. Why do we find this so hard? Because we don't like playing second fiddle. What's that mean? It means we want to be in control. We're control freaks. We are in charge. This person's causing us pain. They're difficult. Let's get them out of the picture. And we want action, and we want it now. On the other hand, God is whispering in our ears, if we would only listen. It's not all about you, you know. I have others as well who are worse off. Maybe we can hear those words and say, well, fix it then, Lord. That's all very good, but in my time, says the Lord. You see, the bottom line is this. God is patient. We are not. He sees the big picture. We don't. We need to be patient with others, especially those we dislike or hate. Now, every good parent, knows that children need to be taught patience. It's not installed at conception. And we are God's children. So God is trying to constantly teach us to be patient. It's an interesting word, patience. The etymological root of the word is most interesting. In fact, it's derived from the Latin word to suffer, patire. The sick suffer. That is why they are called patients. And we suffer when we have to be patient. And for that reason, I detest the modern usage of the term client for those who are sick in hospital. Clients are those who visit the accountant or solicitor. The sick, on the other hand, are suffering. They should be called patients. Going back to us, who is a patient person? What's the manifestation of patience? Well, a patient person is one who's well endowed with fortitude or courage, for they can endure in their will much suffering over time. Forbearance is another word linked to patience, which means to bear for others or to put up with others. One helpful thought in learning patience is that God puts up with us. So why should we complain when we have to put up with others? Remember always that God is rich in mercy. Thus he gives even the most wretched soul so much time to repent and seek forgiveness. So whilst there is life, there is always hope. And we hope that all seek God's grace. This week we have the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. God was so patient with her, when everyone else was impatient and wanted to stone her to death. And her patience with God in being healed and converted won her the privilege of being the first public witness to the Lord's resurrection. Then think of also the patience that God manifested towards the good thief, or both thieves. Both received graces as they died on Calvary next to Christ. And it's only at that last moment did God give the good thief the grace to want to be saved. In other words, whilst there's life, there's hope, and that hope entered his heart, and he was converted and he stole heaven. One modern example of divine patience, of God waiting and sending graces to convert a sinner, was Dr. Bernard Nathanson, ex-Jew and atheist, the famous American gynecologist who had established the largest and most efficient abortion clinic in America, the USA. I'm sure that many people would have wished upon him an early demise when he was at the zenith of his medical career, but it was not meant to be. Nathanson's soul gradually tormented him, and he sought solace in relationships, his divorce several times, alcohol, money, worldly pursuits, but all proved in vain. It was only in his latter years of life did he finally convert and become a pro-life champion. Then, after many graces, was baptized and received into the Catholic Church. His autobiography, The Hand of God, provides much insight into the journey of his soul and the importance of patience. He died in 2011. So God is patient with us. Let's put up with others so that we might also be like God, very patient.